What's up, everybody? This is your host, SB Sanchez. Welcome back, everybody, to the Mentally Entangled podcast. I have a little story that I want to use to set the theme for today's episode. So I remember when I was little, I would get so excited for my ice cream cake. And I got an ice cream cake every year for my birthday because I actually am not a big fan of cake other than cheesecake and ice cream cake. Not too big of a fan, but I always wanted to be able to still kind of feel the theme as far as it being my birthday. So my mom would always get me an ice cream cake from Dairy Queen. And then this last birthday, I actually got a red velvet cheesecake. And I was thinking about it today, really in regards to just thinking about the guests that I was going to have on. And I realized there is like such a huge connection between celebrations, whether that is of graduations, weddings, birthdays, and cake. Like there always seems to be a cake whenever a celebration is occurring. And I think that celebrating ourselves and celebrating each other and our wins, whether big or small, it's really important. It's really important to our mental health as well. But for some reason, as we get older, we forget to do this. And it doesn't really make sense because usually the older and older we get, we tend to have more and more successes, whether that is small successes, like I said, as far as like getting a new job, or even, I think I said that backwards, big successes like getting a new job, or small successes like being able to reach our weight loss goal for the year. So in order to talk about celebrating, I do actually have a very special guest with me today. She spends a lot of her time helping people have the right cake at their celebration, whatever accomplishment that they may be having in their life. So Taylor, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for hopping on with me today. I think that it should be a pretty good topic.
Oh, yeah.
I know that obviously you have a whole story that we're going to be going into. But to just let the listeners know kind of what you have going on right now. I know you recently started like your own little business gig thing. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I actually just started a farmer's market and I'm at a pumpkin patch right now. So that's super exciting because I love Halloween. But I've been doing this since I was 16 years old, a freshman in high school. And this was just kind of like a small gig, so I don't have to work.
Yeah.
This is just one of the passions that I share. And I love it so much.
Okay. So how did you get into this to start? Because aren't you in school for?
Yes, I'm actually okay. In school for culinary right now. I'm getting my baking and pastry degree mm-hmm. at Jefferson State. And honestly, my degree kind of feels worthless because the industry I'm going into, it's more of knowledge than it is. Or it's like physically, you get more credit if you work in the industry than you do in a degree.
So experience.
Experience is like okay. vital. Mm-hmm. And my degree is kind of, I could have just learned it on YouTube, to be honest with you. But I had nothing, like I had nowhere else to go. I don't know what I wanted to do or wanted to be. So I chose that route.
You kind of accidentally fell into the path.
Yeah, 2 years. So.
Okay. So as far as you mentioned the industry, what industry, if you gave that industry a title, just so the listeners kind of are aware?
Ooh, that's a tough one because me being a white snowflake that I am in a industry where it's full of convicts and murderers, mm-hmm. I'm not joking. It can definitely, I can see it's taken a toll on probably me cussing more, me looking at life differently. It's changed a lot about me and I feel more confident in myself and it makes me look at the world differently.
Okay. So when you say there's a lot of, you said convicts?
Lots of convicts,
explain
yes.
that to me.
So one time I was washing a knife at the sink and this other guy was washing his knife at the sink and I was like, randomly, because this is who I am. I asked him if he ever killed anybody. And
so you tell me that just at a random time, that question
yes.
pops into your
head. Yeah. And so, because I know these people and I've worked beside them. And I don't know if any of y'all are familiar of Walter White, Breaking Bad, the mm-hmm. Netflix series. Mm-hmm. It's about this guy that makes crack cocaine because he needs money, but he doesn't use it or anything. And he becomes this really big guy in the industry because his crack is so pure.
Right.
And I have asked everybody if they watched it and of course they have. And so they're hooked up in drugs and stuff. I literally witnessed a drug deal going on in the cooler.
Okay, so where do you work? Hold on. We need to back up. Let's paint a picture. Oh my gosh,
I don't want to expose anybody, but I do work at Culinary Dropout. And okay. I do love the people there. They are really nice. But other than that, they definitely have a testimony.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So do you feel like that is a common theme within kitchens at restaurants, period?
For sure. For sure. I've noticed definitely I looked at myself as a being, and I honestly don't want to work in that field, because why would I work getting maybe possibly $20 an hour? Me being a college student, mm-hmm. 19 years old, $17 an hour is wonderful. Right. It's gold.
Right.
But me working with a 55-year-old with two kids, single.
That's a different situation.
So I don't honestly want to be in the field. Also, my chefs that are managers and bosses over me, they are 24 years old. They look like they're 55. Like, the industry takes a toll on them. You have to work holidays. Like, the bags underneath their eyes are so heavy. Yeah. I don't think a cream can fix that.
Okay, so this kind of makes me think. I watched a show. Is it The Bear?
The Bear,
on
yes.
Hulu. Okay, that's true.
That's real. Yes. I have chefs flick me off constantly, say fuck you just because it's funny to them.
Right.
And, throw french fries at my eye, but they're definitely brutal. But at the end of the day, they don't mean anything they say.
Why do you think it is like that in that space? So you're talking about like culinary chefs, that type of line of work, and what you're doing, what you want to do. Well, I guess what you are doing and want to do simultaneously, you want to be just specifically baking.
Yes. So my passion in life, I feel like, is like any other normal girl, is to fall in love, have kids, have a beautiful home. I want to be a stay-at-home mom, to be honest with you. Mm. I want to take care of my kids. I want to, be involved with everything that they're doing, like sports, and I want to share their passions and be alongside of them like my parents were to me. I want to give them that opportunity, but I do want to have a home bakery, like a home bakery. If one of my friends decided to like open up a coffee shop, I would be so down to sell pastries.
So you would be like catering. You want to be in like the catering business.
Oh, yes. Oh, that opens up a whole nother door. I want to have my house on a big plot of land and then have a wedding venue just down the road. And I want to be the host of parties. Like, I want to be party central to like big weddings. I want like my name to be on the cake list. I want them to look at my venue and be like, oh my gosh, I have to have my wedding here. Like, this is a must. Mm-hmm. And I want to be the center of their beautiful celebration, because, it's wonderful. Like, oh, yeah. Have you heard of like Taylor's little thing that she's got going on?
Doesn't sound like it's going to be too little, first of all.
No, it's going to be lit.
But this is exactly why I wanted to bring you on, is because you have a passion for celebrating. And there are a lot of people that don't. Like, celebrating, I feel like, is not really a thing nowadays. Like, you get older. I don't know if this has happened to you, but it's like the older and older you get, like, people start caring less and less about their birthdays.
Oh my gosh, that's so true, yeah.
Or it's like, let's say, well, I mean, I'm going to put myself out there too. I have graduated now technically 3 times, once from high school, once from undergrad, college, then with my master's, like literally, what month are we in? October?
Mm-hmm.
Like literally a couple months ago. And like, I didn't actually celebrate. It kind of just like, you just like keep moving.
Yeah,
like you just
moving.
Move from one thing to really another. Do. And then by the time something else big happens, it's like, well, I didn't even have time to celebrate the thing before. So like, why would I celebrate this?
And it's definitely like, you have to stop and pause your life to plan that event. And like, most people just don't even have time.
Yeah. And I think the relation that I make here with like mental health, right? So it's like, how are we going to maintain like our sanity if we don't take that time to pause and like take that time to like sit in those things that have been really good in our life? Like, if all we're thinking about, we're just moving from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, then of course, like, those negative things that happen in life are going to be so much more highlighted because we're not taking the time to highlight the positive things. And I think that's where it becomes like, you get stuck in this loop of like, oh, only like bad things ever happen because you don't take the time to hyper focus yeah. when good things happen.
That's so true.
So, okay, speaking of that, I have like a million questions for you already, but I do have to ask you the original question. I ask this question to everybody that comes onto the podcast. If I asked you to explain like what mental health means to you, what would you say?
I definitely had a struggle. I had to look up the meaning because
it's okay.
One of the meanings that stuck out to me the most was you have two, your physical well-being and your mental well-being. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was raised as a daughter of an ex-Marine. And if you know, you know, for sure. that life, you didn't have anxiety. You didn't have stress. You just get your shit done and you move on.
Yeah.
You're
not allowed to like sit in those emotions.
Yeah, you don't wallow in it.
Yeah.
You get it done mm-hmm. and you left it better than you found it. And that definitely for me as a kid, it definitely raised you not to be a pussy for sure.
Right.
And if I could take it back, I don't think I would, honestly, because it, me being the person I am today, I feel like I can take on anything. And you don't see much 19-year-olds doing what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have a platform. I have over 100 customers that come back. And that says a lot about me and my brand. But mental health to me is...
Sounds like it's resilience.
Yeah.
Like your ability to have a sound enough mental health in order to push through whatever life brings you.
Yeah. There's definitely been some moments where I have just broken everything. And those times in life, I take a minute, I collect my thoughts, I take a deep breath. If I need to cry, I cry. But I never say no to anything. Like if I had a cake order, like it was a big wedding cake order,
yeah.
and I messed up, I screwed up, I don't care if I have to spend 2 times the amount of money that I earned. I will get it done.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, not a lot of people can say that nowadays because they don't know what like drive is and like they give up
yeah.
so easily.
Yeah. It sounds like you at a very young age were instilled within you to be resilient, that it didn't really matter like what circumstances life threw you, like you were going to, I guess, be strong enough. I'm hesitant to use that word, but strong enough to be able to get through those moments. I think a lot of people don't have that ability. They were never taught that, whether it's because their parents didn't provide them with that type of like environment or support system, or simply because they never go out of their way to like put themselves in positions that are challenging. So one of the things you just said right now is like you will take on a challenge. You won't run away from it. You won't shy away from it. Like you'll feel your emotions. You'll feel what you need to feel. You'll let yourself process that, reflect in that, but you won't avoid it. You kind of just face those things head on and you get through it whatever way that you can. Other people, when difficult things happen, it's like that thing happens and then they're like, oh, too scary, gotta go. And then they just run. And then usually what ends up happening is it catches up.
Right? Yeah, it really does.
Those things don't just disappear into thin air. And I think that's where people have such a hard time maintaining like the ability to push through those tougher moments. So
yeah.
I appreciate you doing your research, number one, before you came on, but also just being able to put that into words that made sense to you without like trying to use dictionary.com or something like
but
that.
But I try my best to have like a mellow, happy, positive mm-hmm. look on things, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I want to be. I strive to be in that
positivity.
Yes.
Yeah, because usually a positive mindset brings positive things within our space. It's like I was saying, like if you have the ability to focus on the positive, those positives are going to shine really, really bright to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you forget how to do that, don't know how to do that, then the negatives are going to seem really, really bright sometimes, and you don't want those negative things to sound bright. So okay, moving on to your story and the thousands of questions that I have for you, I don't really know where you want to start with your story as far as like you're coming up and how the heck you got to where you are today. You're not that old, first of all. Taylor is 19. You are a child, okay?
Oh my gosh.
So you have so much more of your story to write. But if I asked you like where you would claim like your story starts, what would you say?
Let's start at day one.
Okay.
I was born in Katy, Fulcher, Texas.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm not going to start there.
Okay.
But I am going to start by my passion first came from my mom. She's so good at cooking. And my grandma, her mom came from Czechoslovakia and she married a man from Germany.
Okay.
And my grandma has always had like delicious like strudels and
yeah, I was about to say
oh, just delicious kolaches and all mm-hmm. of that. And I grew up as a kid licking the bowl of my grandma's like kolache bowl. And she actually owns her own farmer market now. She's like 96.
Okay.
And she still
does she
runs.
Live here in the States?
No, she still lives in Texas.
Okay.
And I have always had a love for food. I've never been a picky child except when it comes to my greens. I love flavor. I don't even like cooking, to be honest with you. I like experimenting like different flavors, different combinations.
You
different
like taste.
Oh my gosh. If I could try every restaurant in the world, even the bad ones, I would. Just to say I like,
yeah.
Just to see what's different. That's why I love culture. Culture is something that like, I fell in love with so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And like Middle Eastern desserts are nothing like American desserts. French desserts are nothing like African desserts.
Right.
They're all different and they all have their meaning and twist. And actually like most desserts are spiritual. I don't think a lot of people know that. In the beginning,
mm-hmm.
Desserts were made as a sacrifice to the gods.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that's why they're circle shaped. They're circle shaped like the moon. Because they're sacrificing it to the moon god.
Interesting.
Yeah. But going back to my backstory.
You're just going to drop a fact like that and we're just going to go back to your life. Perfect. We'll come back to that.
We'll come back. We'll come back. Okay. So I was that girl that lived in a brick house with a long driveway mm-hmm. on a cotton farm. So cute. Your next door neighbor girl. But... I was 10 years old when I moved to a place called Still Creek Ranch, mm-hmm. and it's in College Station, Texas. Basically, this is an organization where trafficked girls could get help and love from, like, adults and parents. So my mom and dad were parents to 7 girls that were trafficked, okay. or their mom overdosed, or no matter, like, what hard circumstance they were in, my parents took them in. And it was just an organization where we got a house, we got funds and stuff, but we helped them live in a godly manner and we gave them love and okay. what it looks like for someone to love them because they never had that.
Yeah.
I was 10 years old at the time, so I had no clue why my parents
like
were...
Like there was random people in your house?
Well, not so that. Like I knew they were my sisters.
Okay.
Like I really enjoyed them. One of them actually taught me how to play piano. And I grew connections to all of them. But I never, like, noticed why my parents were always so down. And, like, my mom was always crying in her bedroom. And I never knew why all these things. Because, I mean, they were always nice to me because I'm a little 10-year-old girl.
Right.
But I didn't know the backstory. My parents kept finding books underneath their bed of, like, all the times they sold themselves to men. And when they're meeting them and how much money they're getting off of it. Like... I never realized that my sisters were selling themselves. I never realized what they've been through, like drug overdoses and all of that. Like, I had nothing. My parents didn't tell me anything.
Yeah.
And I was just told to be a sister to them. And one day my parents cracked. It was, they took God out of the ministry and they thought that anything the girls would say, the ministry would believe them. And so if they said my parents did anything, like, they would believe the girls and get my parents in jail. So my mom and dad were like, no, we're getting out of here. Plus, you don't even put God in this situation anymore. And if you're going to have an organization like that, you can't take God out of that.
Right.
So we moved back to my old house, and this is where we became familiar with Big Oak Ranch. And instantly, my parents picked up and moved again to Big Oak Ranch, and this
where
time,
is that?
Big Oak Ranch is in Gadsden, Alabama.
Okay.
This is actually a wonderful. They put God first, and it's thriving. You can tell that that God is in the center of what they do. But my parents are house parents for boys now. They were troubled boys. I don't know all the backstories of my brothers because it's kept confidential.
Yeah, yeah. To kind of protect them.
Yes,
and,
but I
yeah.
do know that they came from broken homes. And
yeah.
I know a couple of their stories, and it just breaks my heart because I call them like blood to me. They're my mm-hmm. brothers. But so I moved there when I was a freshman in high school. I had a best friend. I'm not going to drop a name. Right. But
yeah, that's fine.
He was one of my brothers, and he was the same age as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not know what manipulation was because, you know, I'm a stupid teenage girl.
Right.
And
yeah.
I'm just fresh into high school and this new school. I'm, like, experiencing all these new feelings I've never felt before because I moved a whole state away to Alabama. And I just could not believe somebody would take advantage of me like right. he did. This is going into way off the lines, but this is my testimony, and it all begins of me trusting him and him telling me like little lies like, oh, your friend doesn't like you, or mm-hmm. the boy you're talking to only likes you for your body, like stuff like that.
Right.
And it got to me because I never had someone lie to me before.
Right. Yeah.
And
you still had your innocence. In
oh
a way.
Yeah.
Like you
sure.
still had, you were viewing the world as like, there's no such thing as bad people yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so like, and you also don't think this will never happen to me. Like you hear about it and you're like,
yeah,
that would never happen to me.
Yeah.
But, later on, about like 4 or 5 months into us moving there, he started at like lying to me, and I caught him in a few lies, and one lie was really big. And the last text that I actually got from him was him asking, if I wasn't your house brother, would you like me? And that just rocked my world because, first of all, he's living under my roof.
Mm-hmm.
I sleep right, like, not next to him, but I sleep in the same house as him. I eat next to him. Like, he's my brother.
Yeah.
And to hear that he likes me, especially at, like, I'm 16.
Right.
I don't know how to handle a situation like this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get away from it. And I take it to my parents. And, of course, they're like, you're being so dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
But nobody was there for me. Nobody, not even my parents, until they actually had proof.
Mm.
And that proof was hidden pictures of me on his phone, just living my life.
Yeah.
And
so basically you had a stalker.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He also tried to kill me later on. About a year. He's like the type of person that holds grudges.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I didn't like him, he tried to throw me off the back of a truck going about 70 miles per hour on a pea gravel road. And like, it's windy, and yeah. I was hitting the back of the truck and the sides, and a little bit of backstory behind that. I was actually a ranch hand for, you know, it's called Big Oak Ranch. And so we had cattle. And that specific day we were building fence line. So there was a whole bunch of barbed wire in the back. And he drove me to the barn to get a weed eater so I could start weed eating.
Mm-hmm.
And he took advantage of that situation. Of course, I'm not going to sit up front with him.
Right.
I'm going to sit in the back.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit on the tailgate. And this kid just hits the accelerator as soon as I get on, and he goes down that pea gravel road. And if you've never been down a pea gravel road going fast, like that's a perfect time to do like a perfect mm-hmm. drift. It's beautiful. Not when someone's in the back though.
Yeah.
I had barbed wire run all over my legs. My blue jeans were cut up from that,
mm-hmm.
and yet that still wasn't enough proof for my parents until they found actual camera footage from the barn.
Wow.
But he stopped. And, well, after I was screaming for, like, 5 minutes, just screaming my head off, like, trying to hold on for dear life, he, like, full-on stops and my back hits the truck,
mm-hmm.
the back of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm stunned. I don't even know,
like
can't
in
even
shock.
Cry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hear this kid laughing. And I am like, what pit of hell did you come from? Because you're possessed.
Right.
Like, there's a freaking demon inside of you.
Yeah.
And I get out of the truck, and I, like, he doesn't even wait for me to get out. He backs up. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
I can't even, like, oh, if I had my sanity in that moment, I'd open that door, and Lord knows what I'd do to him.
Right.
But I couldn't even think.
Yeah.
And I instantly called my parents, and I remember I couldn't even get the words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Like, I almost just died.
Yeah.
And I said in that phone, I remember specifically, I was like, it's either me or him.
Right.
Like, get him out of my fucking house, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's gone way too far. Mm-hmm. He's done already so much to me, mentally and physically.
Yeah.
And now he, like, literally just tried to hurt me.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind away how I gave my high school life, I gave my teenager years to you to be a sister and to love you and to show you what it's like to have a sister in my family, my parents coming in to be your parent because your parents screwed up.
Mm.
And you treat me like shit? Excuse me?
Right.
And I guess that never clicked in his head that I was here for him. Right. And he was treating me like shit. I don't know. My parents didn't believe me until it was too late.
Yeah.
And I also believe that's who I am today. I don't have to get like proof from anyone that I'm like, I guess, worthy enough. Like, I will prove to them. Like, I remember one time in high school when I was just about to graduate, I got mono from my friend, not a guy.
Right.
I got mono from a friend. And I was supposed to go to California for 2 weeks to hike and stuff and just to be in like God's glory. Like, I was supposed to have my phone taken away and everything. I was just supposed to just hike and just be in God's presence.
Yeah.
And because of that, my parents took that from me. And those last 2 weeks were just nothing but me getting drugged on the front porch and like, just, you're not enough. Like, you're not enough for college. You don't know what you're getting yourself into. You don't know what the world holds to you. And I remember like thinking back to that day that I survived, like the car, the truck incident, and they did nothing about it. And I was like, you're so messed up for thinking that I can't do anything in this world. Because this is also where I get my drive and passion. Like, I'm on the dean's list right now. I have been on the dean's list. I'm going to my second year of college. I have made nothing but 90s and above. God, I'll prove you wrong if you step on me, but this is just one thing that don't get me wrong. My parents are literally saints from heaven, but since I was their last kid,
no parents are perfect either. Yeah. You know?
But things were said like, if you want to go right now, like, I don't care, but you're not taking anything with you. Like, make that decision right now. Like, I don't care. Go. And like, that just like kind of hurt. But I definitely believe that, God, I can do anything. And I mean, I bought my first car. I paid for my phone. I paid for my bills. And I did that since day one, like ever since I became old enough to do all those things.
Yeah.
And I was just raised like that. Like, my dad, he can't physically hurt the guys or like the boys because he has to discipline them a different way.
Yeah.
Because they might have been beat in their past. Like, they got PTSD. He makes them do planks.
Hey, that's a good tactic.
Yeah, so that, like, he'll make us do planks on the floor for like 5 minutes.
Right.
And that's just my backstory of all of that. But my passion for cakes. One time, my mom was really busy about like taking boys to football and stuff, and she's like, Taylor, Gavin's birthday party is coming up. Can you please make him a cake? I'm so busy. I'm like so overwhelmed. So like, oh my gosh, I would love to. I right. never made a cake in my life, but you know, I'm so down. So I make my first cake and it's absolutely disgusting looking. And me being the perfectionist I am, I was like, I've got to make another one.
Right.
So my mom would pay me like $15 to $20 to do like every birthday cake.
Yeah.
And I slowly got better and better and better. And that's when I found like my love, my true love for like baking. Like, honestly, like unlocking that inner child of mine, like going to my grandma's house and helping her. And that was my safe space for such a long time because, you know, if something was bothering me, I'd just put on my headphones, put on like freaking Alice in the Wonderland or something, or like, God, I love Beethoven or any kind of like classical, like, or even what's that guy? Frank Sinatra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I love to cook to him, but just anything, I'll put my headphones on and just bake. And, like, that was definitely a getaway for me, including, like, sports or something like that. I always try to stay out of the house because I lived with the kid.
Yeah.
They didn't even kick him out when he tried to kill me.
Yeah.
It was wonderful.
You definitely have a lot going on as far as, like, your backstory. Again, like, the number one thing that I feel like is pretty consistent within your story is that you've always been resilient. Like, you've always found a way to kind of get yourself out of all of these situations and be successful in them. So I know you mentioned, like, as far as your parents kind of being like, okay, if you want to go to college, go, we don't really care. Do they support, like, your new kind of business as far as, like, bakery and baking cakes, decorating cakes and stuff like that?
Yeah, so my dad, when I was young, definitely didn't find God until I was, I think, probably when we moved to Big Oak. And I just seen God work in him, like, miraculously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even, like, he's not even the same person. And it's amazing what God can do when he changes, like, somebody and when, yeah, they accept them fully. And my dad, he is just, like, the kindest person I've ever met. I come to him for everything. He's so knowledgeable. And he takes everything up with God first.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'll call him randomly and be like, hey, what the heck does this Bible verse mean? Or just something like that.
Yeah.
Or, like, the government. Like, whenever that strike came, I went to him first.
Yeah.
And I was like, what does this mean? And he, yeah, knew exactly. Like, he was right about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he is just not the same person. He's always supported me, though. My dreams, he's always supported me.
You think, like, now he has the ability to kind of understand you more, though, and understand, like, what it is that you want?
Yeah, I think, okay, so I'm the black sheep of the family. I have two other siblings that are, like, blood related to me, my brother and my sister. And they're so like, they hate people. My sister was homeschooled. She was bullied, and so from a young age, she just started going to homeschool.
Mm-hmm.
Hated people. But my brother, he is a sweet soul. He really is so sweet, but he hates people too. And me, I always wanted to go out with my friends. Yeah. I wanted to go to Sonic. I wanted, yeah, to go to my friend's house. And my parents are like, who are you? Because I'm the youngest.
Yeah, they're so used to the patterns of the two, yeah, older siblings that you came around and they didn't know what to do with you.
And I feel like I got in trouble a lot for that. Like, I lived a normal teenage life. Like, going out with your friends is normal.
Yeah.
But I always...
They just didn't have the experience, yeah, though.
Yeah, and really, I always, like, got lectured for it.
Yeah.
But, what was the question?
But now they support you.
Yeah, okay,
basically,
yes.
The moral of the story. Okay, well, that's good. So as far as... I guess cakes. So specifically, why cakes? Because you could bake a million things in the world. How did you get to, I guess, continue to have a passion for cake specifically? Like, why have you never changed it up?
I like decorating. Like, I love decorating, like, taking buttercream or Swiss meringue or cream cheese and trying it with different flavors and... I love the Queen Victorian, like, the vintage look.
Mm.
Like, I absolutely love the fruffle cakes, the frou-frou, you know, like, yeah, all those, like. I like to test my ability. I like to see what I can do, and I like to challenge myself. I also I'm really good at sugar cookies. That's actually where I first started.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a family recipe, and it is actually delicious. But I like sugar cookies too because I can, like, design them anyway.
So you like the art part,
I do.
It too.
I actually really do.
Okay, I like that. As far as, like, wedding cakes, what is, because you told me that you know some crazy facts about this. So what's like the history of a wedding cake?
Okay, so everybody has a wedding cake.
Mm-hmm.
If, like, I don't think you've ever been to a wedding without a wedding cake.
Correct.
And they honestly have a specific flavor, like that hint of almond. And that, like, crunchy icing. And it's just, like, so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so extravagant. But that all started in Rome, ancient Rome. And it was actually a symbolization of fertility. and they would hit the bride with the cake.
I'm never going to be able to eat a cake normally after this. I hope you know that. But continue.
Yeah, so they would take a cake and put it on the bride's head and just smash it. And that's good luck for fertility. Mm. Just like, you know how like Greeks like smash a plate? Or yeah, is that yeah, Jews? Yeah. Are those Jews? And they're like, opa, I think it's Jewish.
Okay, well, let's just say one of those cultures. Yeah. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I don't really know the meaning behind that, but I know that like there was a, like they smashed cakes for fertility on their head. And that didn't, like, yeah, you're right about cakes having significance in really big events.
Yeah, in like celebratory moments. Yes. It seems like I've never been to any party, I don't think. Okay, unless we're talking about like college parties. Yeah, we're going to leave those in a different category. But like seriously, like birthdays, graduation parties, weddings, somebody retiring, there's always a cake.
Yeah, especially I've noticed whenever you make a cake, like one time my boyfriend made me a cake and like my heart melted. Yeah. Like there's something about somebody taking the time out of their day and making a cake for you, and it's just so meaningful.
Like it can be an act of love to bake a cake.
Yeah, or even cooking. Like that is so much meaning behind it.
Do you ever get nervous having like the responsibility to make somebody's like cake? Like if it's like a big day for them. Oh, if they come to you and they're like, I finally, I don't know, retired after how many ever years, and they're asking you to like make a cake. Does that apply pressure to you, knowing like that person is about to celebrate such a big part of their life?
Yeah. So I told myself I'd never do wedding cakes because that is so important to me. Like weddings are like a start of new life.
Yeah.
And it has so much meaning behind it. And I always was like, I am not putting that on myself.
That pressure, yeah.
But, you know, maybe the person I am, I got my first wedding cake order and I was like, oh, hell yeah. Right. I'll take that. And it's not just because the price tag is huge.
Right.
But it's so meaningful knowing you made it and you get to deliver it and you get to see their faces. Mm. Like, cut into the cake.
It makes you happy to see people happy.
Oh, for sure. Like, that brings, like, a warmth in your heart. And it's just really nice to see.
I love that. Okay, so speaking of celebrations, why do you feel like as we get older, we celebrate ourselves less?
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because my dad's birthday just came up and it's irrelevant. Like, it's just another day for him.
Right, exactly. Yeah. No, and a lot of adults say that. They're like, it's just another year.
And that hurts me because that's my father.
Right.
And I want to celebrate him, but it's like nothing. I guess people become numb to it. Just like if you watch too much horror movies, like blood and guts just become normal to you now.
Yeah.
And I really do believe that people just, it's just another day. And like when you're a kid, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
I actually remember the first time I felt, I'm not really that excited for my party. Like really? The first, yeah, I was, I think I was turning 11 and I was sitting on my couch and I was just like, I told my mom, I was like, I'm like literally not that excited for it.
Right.
Like, she always put those cheesy little games on, like where you put the Oreo on your forehead and you yeah. try to like
Or the donkey
it.
On the tail.
Oh, yeah, all of that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I guess it's just maturing maybe and growing up. But for me, I always want a cake. I don't care. If I die, there better be a cake at my funeral.
this is why, like, I feel like it was important to highlight this topic is because you should feel like that. You should feel like you have the right to celebrate. I don't know that maturing is like a good enough excuse to just like stop celebrating yourself. Like, a lot of people, there are things that happen in people's life and they work really, really hard for them. And then the moment will pass and they'll be so focused on like, okay, now I got to do the next thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that is actually immature to not practice gratitude, to not like take the time to sit in that moment and be like thankful, I think, but also like present. Like people have such a hard time like actually being present.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of just go from one thing to the next.
Do you think that there's mental health involved with that?
Yeah. I mean, I do think like we aren't necessarily trained to celebrate ourselves. I think
somebody else always puts it on. And it's not just ourselves.
That's true. Actually, I didn't think about that. But yeah, that's true, actually. I guess a celebration, we're used to like other people celebrating us.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily get taught how to celebrate ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's like you said, if you want a cake, you're going to go get a cake. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm an adult. And sometimes I have to remind myself, like, if I want to go buy myself a case of cookies because I'm proud of myself, I can do that.
Yeah.
But that feels awkward. And I think that feels awkward for a lot of people. Like the idea of like patting ourselves on the back, mm-hmm. that's like, ooh, gross. No, like we need a corporation to do that. We need an organization. We need a degree to tell us that we did a good job. And that definitely does impact like our mental health. Because again, it's like if you just allow all of these moments to pass by and all you can ever do is feel like whatever just happened isn't enough, you're not going to be very content, in my opinion. You're going to always be focused on like, oh, I could have done this better. Oh, I need more. Whether it's like, oh, I need more money, or oh, I need more success, or oh, I need my business to get bigger. But you lose the ability to just be present. And when you're super like futuristic, I think that that brings along a lot of unnecessary stress. I think it brings along a lot of unnecessary worries. Like things that you are worrying about that you think will happen in 5 years that probably will never happen.
That's so true.
And then you can't actually enjoy the actual moment.
Yeah.
Which isn't good for anybody. So yeah, I think there's definitely a correlation there. As far as like what you do to celebrate, is there something that you do to remind yourself to celebrate yourself?
Probably, this is funny, probably just taking a bath. And putting on a movie is celebrating to me, because after I've cooked, like, okay, so my farmer's market's on Saturday, and I usually take Friday and Thursday to just bake my butt off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, after doing all of that, it's like to celebrate myself.
Yeah.
I just relax, and I just take a moment to let my, like, you ever, like, had a 12-hour shift and you've been on your feet and you get off your feet and that feeling
is just relief.
It feels amazing.
Yeah.
And another way I celebrate myself is probably like getting a drink or something, like not like alcohol. I don't like alcohol, but like, I don't know, like a Sprite, like
something that's out of the ordinary.
Yeah, something that's just nice, or like going out to eat. That's a big one for me. Like, I'll invite like my boyfriend, like, let's go to B-Dubs and like, let's just get the bongo night, you know, 20 wings and 50 things of ranch.
No, I like that you're using these examples, because none of them are like these big, huge events that you're having to have to celebrate yourself. Like you're literally just doing like the smallest things, but that small thing is a huge reminder to just be proud of yourself.
Yeah.
And again, it's like we shouldn't need like a huge party to be thrown to be able to celebrate us getting through the week. Like for some people that should be a celebration, being able to survive the week. That alone can be something that is celebrated, and it doesn't even require a cake. If you want one though, go and get a cake.
Yeah, hit me up, guys.
Yeah. So speaking of that, what is your favorite cake? Favorite of cake?
Wow.
That you can only pick one. I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay. I don't even know if this is considered a cake, but one time when I was really young, my brother had this really rich friend, and she bought him cake for his birthday, and I confess that I ate it, Holden. I'm so sorry if you're listening to this. I snuck into the fridge at night and ate it, but it was like a cannoli. Like it was.
Oh, interesting.
Pastry puff. Like really fine layer of icing, pastry puff, and like it goes on and on and on. It's just a big stack. It was so delicious.
That sounds really good.
But I don't know if that's considered a cake, but I really like carrot cake. I actually cannot find a red velvet recipe to save my life. I just actually had a client order a $95 cake, and my culinary teacher gave me a beets cake. He said, oh, this is great. This is where red velvet was founded, on beets, and it's the natural beets. Red flavor. And I did it. And that cake, no joke, tasted like beets, even though he told me it wouldn't. And long story short is I don't know. My roommate liked it, so I'm just going to go with that.
I don't know about a beets cake.
Yeah. Well, it's a red velvet, but it has beets in it to color it red.
Okay.
Without the – so a normal two-tiered cake, or two stories on the cake,
mm-hmm.
4 ounces of red food dye. That's two of those big chunky ones you could find at Walmart. It's a lot of red food dye.
Is that bad for me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So instead, I should get some beets, is what you're saying.
There's really no way to
go around
to
it. Okay. Well, let's not ruin cake.
Okay.
We made it this far. Let's not ruin cake. But so what type of services do you offer with your business? You offer cake decorating. Do you offer anything else?
Yeah. Sugar cookies for sure. I've gotten into cake pops recently. They're cakesicles. So they look like popsicles,
mm-hmm.
but they're cakes. No. Yeah. I hate doing popsicles. I hate doing cake pops.
Okay.
They're so time-consuming.
So what's the difference between a cake pop and a pop?
The shape.
Pop.
That's, I don't
know. Cakesicle.
Cakesicle.
It's just the shape.
They're shaped different, yeah.
Okay.
And they're way easier for me to
make. Okay. So if I wanted you to make me a not cake pop or a decorated cake, how do I reach you?
So my Instagram is Tay's Cakery. In my Facebook, you can just find me under Taylor Metter.
And I can just send you a message.
Yeah, just DM me.
Okay. You know, you mentioned that you were at a farmer's market now?
Yes. The whole October, I'm going to be at Sand Mountain Pumpkin Patch. And I'm literally was the only booth there. You can't miss me.
And are you selling, like, sugar cookies there?
Yeah, I was
stuff?
Selling fudge brownies with Oreos inside of them. And then pumpkin bread, cream cheese inside of them. I was selling mini lunchbox cakes. Those are adorable. And I will be doing classes on them
mm-hmm.
later. And I did the cake skulls. And that's it.
Okay.
And I made pretty good profit. I sold out.
That's pretty exciting.
It is.
Okay, so do you have any other big events coming up that we should know about?
I'm just honestly taking it one step at a time. Like this,
sounds like a, when sounds I told like you, a businesswoman.
Yeah, investing in this booth must have been about $1,000 for me.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a college student and invest that much money is nail biting.
Yeah.
It's toe gripping.
Right.
Oh my right. gosh. It's just, it's a lot of stress. Like knowing what if I don't sell out? What if I only sell half my product? All that time I spent in that kitchen. Mm, on my feet.
That's true. Yeah.
It's actually so scary, but all you gotta do is just trust God and put it in His hands.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, thank you for hopping onto the podcast with me today. I definitely enjoyed having you. I will be hiring you for my birthday cake this next year for sure. And probably my future wedding one day, maybe. I'll be sending you a message, see what you can put together. Just don't make it beet flavored. Please.
Oh, that's funny, yeah.
But yeah, I really do appreciate you taking the time to do this, especially now that you are a busy businesswoman. So.
Yes.
And to all of my listeners, thank you for spending some time with me today as we entangled ourselves in the mental world of celebration. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share and subscribe. Catch the next episode next Friday. And as always, our goal is to spread awareness on the importance of mental health as it relates to every person, no matter who you are or what you do. There's not a single person that goes unaffected by mental health. Don't forget, you are mentally entangled in every aspect of your life. See you next time.